Hello and welcome to the Tiwu podcast. This is audio log number 24 and today's date is December 23rd. So I thought I'd want to share a story about a street cat that I've been feeding. I named him Biggie and he's this brown tabby cat who is, I would say he's about 15 pounds. He's a male cat and I think he's unneutered. I've been feeding him since of April of this year, April 2022. And yeah, I just want to kind of share his story. It's kind of a work in progress at the moment, but it all started during the spring season when things started to open up for me in terms of like pandemic restrictions. And then so we had more people coming over. We were going over to people's places. And at that time, we were kind of getting busier. We ended up putting food out a few times for our own cats. We have three cats that go outside pretty regularly. So we ended up putting some food out for them. And at some point we kind of noticed that there was two cats who were coming by the house that we'd never seen before. First one was Biggie, this brown tabby cat. And then also there was another cat that I named Snow, who was this white and gray cat, looked smaller and looked like a female cat. They both would come by the house and kind of eat our cat's food. Snow would just kind of nibble at it, never really finish the food, whereas Biggie would always finish the bowl. At first, we just thought that they might have belonged to somebody. And since the season was getting warmer, that they were just being let out like, you know, someone just started letting out their cat, like our cats. Not a big, you know, deal. We did start to notice as we saw them more often that Snow looked like she might have had an injury to her jaw before. So we were a bit concerned that Snow was potentially a stray, whereas Biggie, he kind of just looked pretty well kept. He wasn't injured in any way, and he looked pretty fat, pretty big. So we thought, you know, he's probably a well-fed cat, and maybe we just got them on the off chance that they've just been let out a little bit longer, so he was really hungry and just finished all the food. You know, not a big deal. From April and into the summer, we started to leave a little bit more food in general, right? Because we were getting busier and the weather was getting warmer. The cats wanted to go out more and spend more time outside. And at that time, I was heavily pregnant. I couldn't really do much. My pregnancy was getting, like, I was getting bigger and bigger. And so, you know what? We just left the food outside for them. We leave some dry food and some water. Not a lot. They don't stay out overnight. No, it's just like in the evenings, like at 7 or 8 or something like that, when we would go out and we would come back before 10 and then we'd notice the food's gone or something, or we'd see it. Because my little ones, they don't like to come into the house when people are over and eat food because they get scared of other people. So we don't want to make... We don't want them to be hungry, so we just leave the food outside. So they'll come by and eat. And sometimes we catch a glimpse of these other cats and we're like, okay, that's kind of interesting. And then so as time progressed into the summer and we saw more of these cats, eventually we stopped seeing Snow as much. We did notice that our male cat trio would oftentimes chase her. Like we would see him like kind of chasing her and playing or attacking her potentially when we would go for our walks in the summer and things like that. So we couldn't do anything about it because we can't stop him. Like we just see him chasing her on like our neighbor's backyard or like under their car. So we couldn't like catch him and stop him from doing that. And eventually she didn't come around as much anymore. And we were always concerned, but like, what could we do? Right. We couldn't like really stop him. And at that time we were already, you know, concerned. We were like, we don't know if both of these cats, if they belong to somebody or not. And the rate that they were coming by to eat our food, Snow was coming like not that often, but Biggie, when he came, he used to eat all the food. We were like, okay, that's kind of concerning, but not at the same time, because he seemed like he looked well kept. His fur was normal. It wasn't like exceptionally dirty. He wasn't injured. He didn't look like he was starving because he looked big. He looked meaty, you know. But we were still like, you know, that's something to keep in mind. So I think at some point in the summer, I started to really question whether or not he did belong to somebody, because I think more and more he would come by and eat the food. And so I started to print out posters to put throughout the neighborhood. And this was about May, thinking that if these cats really do like live on the streets and they don't belong to anybody, that might have to do something. So I ended up putting up posters around the neighborhood with their pictures on it and my phone number to see if anyone owns them. That's what they tell you to do to make sure, like, if you know, you're not just catching someone else's cat and giving it to the shelter or something. That's horrible. They have a home, right? I need to make sure they don't have a home. And that's what I was doing, putting up the posters. And I didn't get anything. Unsurprisingly, I didn't get a response of any kind. So, you know, I just kind of was like, you know what? They probably don't belong to somebody, I guess, maybe. Snow eventually just stopped coming around altogether. I just didn't see her anymore. So we're like, okay, you know what? There's nothing I can do about Snow. Either she doesn't come around because she has a home, she's not that hungry, or because of Trio. Trio chases her and she doesn't like it. To be honest, Trio chases his own sister to the point that she screams. Like, Bojay will scream because Trio jumps on her and bites her. And there's nothing we can do to prevent him to do that. I mean, I could physically restrain him all the time, but that's tiring and also not great. So yeah, eventually Snow kind of stops coming by, and we just kind of assume that she's just off somewhere else. So at that point, you know, there's not much I can do. I've already put up the posters to see if someone owns these cats. But I continue to give food to Biggie, trying and waiting to see if there's, you know, we're getting a response. This happens and continues happening into the summer. And at that point, I still didn't have a confirmation of whether or not these cats, like Biggie, belong to somebody or anything else. There was no indication that he was a stray. He just continued coming to our house, at least, like, I think once a night or something to eat food. Obviously, I wouldn't leave the food out overnight. I kind of just put it out, like, I think around 6 or 7. And then after, by the time midnight comes around, he always at least comes by at least once, something like that. The turning point was during one night in the summer. At that time, we had developed a relationship with Biggie that every time, he didn't run every time he saw us. He kind of just stepped back a little bit and watched us from afar, put the food down, he'd come out, kind of thing. And it progressed to the point by the summer that he would actually come and rub up on us when we used to put the food down for him, so we could actually get a closer look. Before, he was very much at a distance. You know, we put the food down, we go back inside, and then he'd come out and come eat it. And by like midsummer, at this point, I'm like almost gonna give birth, like either June or July, I don't remember, but I was like 8 months, so pretty big. And remember just putting the food down for him, he's coming up and eating food, and I can see his stomach. I'm like, oh, I didn't notice this before, probably because I didn't see him up close, but his stomach was very much looking like it caved in. Although he looked structurally big, like his frame was big and wide, and he was standing, he's quite big of a cat. His stomach, I could tell, was a bit caved in, kind of like he was really hungry or had been hungry for a very long time. At that time, I didn't, you know, I was very surprised. I was like, holy crap. There's no way this cat is somebody's then, because how can your cat be like, look like that? It didn't look like the healthy kind of skinny, if that makes sense. If you've ever been to like a vet office, they always show pictures of dog and cat, and it's like they compare the bodies, and if it's like they have like the skinny version and the fat version, and there's like gradients of it. And so if you can see more and more of the ribs, that's that's too skinny and that's not good. And that was what Biggie looked like. You could really see his rib cages, like the unhealthy kind. And I was like, holy crap, I don't think this cat belongs to anybody. Why is he so damn skinny? Like, oh my God. I was very surprised because when I first started feeding him, and I think I realized this afterwards, that, you know what, it was kind of cold when I started feeding him, like in April. You couldn't tell because maybe his fur covered up the belly and the rib cages. But now in the summer, it's hot. He probably shed his winter coat. I can really see his rib cage. And I was so sad and devastated when I saw that. I'm like, holy crap, this cat has no home. This cat has been starving. And this is horrible. And so at that time, it was like summer. So I think we eventually started to feed him more and more. And every time he would come, we would bring out food for him. And I end up taking like a trap and neuter release course certificate thing that could help me get the resources I could to provide a support to him, so I could bring him to get neutered. Or like, I think you can get like free food for the cats you support in the community, things like that. It's a whole community around that, and I really started to dig deeper into that just for Biggie, because I was like, holy crap, what can I do? I'd already done the posters, confirmed he doesn't belong to anybody. I started reaching out to our Humane Society here and our local, like the city run shelters, to see what I could do in terms of like, if I catch him, could I bring him? Like, how do I, you know, what are the steps? And I was given like misinformation left and right. Like, I'm not even kidding. I contacted the local shelter and they were like telling me how, oh, if it's a cat just outside, you can't just catch it and bring it in. Like, it obviously came from somewhere. It obviously belonged to somebody. That's, you know, you can't just bring them into us. And we won't, like, we're not gonna, if you call 311 and ask for someone to come get the pet, like animal services, like animal control, they won't come unless the animal's hurt or injured. So I'm like, okay, well, first off, he's not injured, he's not hurt. Second off, I'm pretty damn sure he doesn't have a home. And I'm like, what, I can't bring him to you, even, like, you know. So that was a no-go. And then I contacted the Humane Society and they're like, they don't take in stray cats. And I'm like, what, really? Okay. I had to talk to someone on the phone, explain them the situation. I have a cat I'm feeding. I don't think it belongs to anybody. What can I do? Can I bring them into you guys? And they're like, no, we don't take cats. We don't take stray cats, blah, blah, blah. And then later on, somebody emailed me and be like, oh no, that person was wrong. We do take in stray cats. Why? I don't know why they said that to you. And I'm just like super confused. So there was a lot of that trying to get support. It was not easy getting any questions answered, to be quite honest with you. And I was very surprised. I was like, what the heck? So there's that. So at that point by summer, I confirmed that like he didn't have a home. He didn't have a home. He didn't belong to anybody. And what could I do? I couldn't bring him to the local like the city run shelters, first off. Second off, the Humane Society, they only take in the stray cats that can be adopted. Now at this point, this Biggie, he would approach us for food, but at that point we hadn't really, like, we didn't try to touch him or anything first. And like, I didn't try because I'm pregnant and I was worried if he would scratch me and, you know, something could happen. So I didn't try that. And then all we've been doing was feeding him. We didn't try to socialize him in any way because at that time we're like, we don't know what's the situation in terms of, like, I don't want to get sick from him, not in this situation, not when I'm pregnant. And I could barely even squat down to do anything, so let alone squatting down to pet him, like, it's not the best. I didn't want to get hurt. So that was, by the time I gave birth, he had already been coming around at least once a night, always at night, never in the day, for at least one feeding. And after I gave birth, because our sleep schedule had gotten so irregular, he ended up coming at least once in the middle of the night, like I think from 2 a.m. to like 7, and then once in the evening. Again, never in daylight, always at nighttime. And he would come and just sit on our front porch, either on the ground or he would sit on our bench and wait for us to feed him. And he'd always just wait. And once we put the food down, he'd come down and he'd get rubs and he'd just eat. So this progressed, and this was August. And by the time it became September, we could start to pet him when he would come by. So I could touch him. I wasn't scared because I wasn't pregnant anymore. And I could pet him. He would still hiss sometimes if I got too close and he didn't like it. And I could only pet him to a point where he wanted me to stop and he'd kind of like bat at me or something, or he would hiss and I'd just stop and he would just eat. And that was our relationship. It kind of just gradually, you know, we got closer and closer. Sometime later in the month, he came to us one night and he was limping. At that point, I was already getting close enough to him that I could give him snacks and I could give him like those cat tubes, and he really liked it. So the night that he came limping, I was like, oh my God, he's limping. I'm like, we need to do something. We need to catch him. We need to get him treated. So I lured him into our home with the cat tube, and I managed to do that in one go and close the door. He instantly kind of freaked out and he went and hid under the couch. My partner and my baby had gone into one of the bedrooms just to stay quiet. And I was just in the living room dealing with him, trying to figure out what I was going to do, the next steps. This was in the evening, getting into the night, like around 10 o'clock, getting kind of late. So he was under the couch. At some point, he came back on top and sat on the couch. And I was like, okay, he's just chilling. And I was like, okay, what am I going to do with him tonight? So I had prepped a washroom in our basement with a litter box and food, thinking, okay, I'm going to put him in there, you know, for the night, and then see if I could bring him to the Humane Society, because they said that they could help. They do the trap neuter release program, and also they do help with like just general neutering, and they do accept strays. So I thought, you know what, that's what I'm gonna do. I didn't know at that point, you know, thinking he seemed like he had a home before, but he seemed like he'd been outside for a very long time. He wasn't super friendly. He let me pet him, but he wasn't like really nice about it, because he would hiss and sometimes he would like try to scratch me, which is like not great and kind of dangerous. So it was a bit tough. He didn't seem like he was very socialized, or if he was, he'd gone back to his feral ways. So there he was in our living room, and I had to get my partner to help me lift him and bring him downstairs. And it was kind of difficult because he was scared and he was batting at us. But I'm like, he's injured. We need to get him help. So after we dropped him once and he went and hid under the couch and I had to use a spray bottle and spray him out, my partner ended up able to catch him and carry him into the basement washroom. The washroom is not very big. It fits like a shower and the toilet and sink. It's not very big. I don't know how to describe it, but yeah, he went in there and we just closed the door. I tried to go in, but he had hid under the sink, and it was really hard to get to him, and it was right next to the door. So I'm like, if I tried to get in there, he might run out and there's not much I can do. This is a stray cat that I don't know if they've been vaccinated at all. He's not neutered, and I have, you know, I have my elderly cat who I was really protective of, and I don't want anything to happen to her as well as my baby. So, you know, I didn't risk it. I didn't try to go in too much once he was in there. Although now when I look back at it, I should have put a camera in there when I was setting it up so I could watch him. And so at some point he did start scratching the door, but we kind of just sprayed water in to see if he would stop, and he did. But when the morning came, I went to check on him. I noticed that he had like pooped on the floor, like diarrhea on the floor. And I was like, oh my God, why is that happening? Why is that happening? I thought, is he not like litter box trained? You know, I thought, well, maybe I put the litter box in a bad spot. I put it in the shower. And then I tried to get in there. I cleaned up the mess, obviously. I had to board up like the basement so that even if he did get out, there wasn't any way for him to get upstairs. He couldn't get into any of the rooms. It was such a complicated situation. And he was just in there. He was super duper, super duper protective, hostile. He was hissing a bunch. I tried to touch him. He'd be like, no. I tried to give him snack, tube, anything so he could eat. He was like, no, I'm gonna stab you. He did eat, like, I had put food in there and he ate it the one time, and then he had diarrhea, I guess. And I was like, I don't know if he's reacting to the food and he's having diarrhea, or if he's just like, you know, just not trained and just has diarrhea because he's a street cat. So that was really tough. And after that, like, I tried contacting the Humane Society. I was like, I want to bring this cat in. I have him in my washroom. You know, what are the things I can do? And then they're like, oh, he needs to be in a... At first, they're like, yeah, you can bring him in. And they took forever to respond, by the way. And this happened, like, I think on a Monday or something, or on a Sunday I caught him. And he stayed overnight on a Monday. I was like, can I bring him in? Like, what do I need? Da, da, da. I wanted to make sure. I didn't want to just show up there. They didn't respond until, like, literally the evening. So he ended up staying another night. And I'd already cleaned up his poop from the night before. But this time I went and I was, like, trying to get him to eat food and trying to, like, spend time with him. But then he gets so scared. And then, like, he shat himself again, like this time under the sink, and it was disgusting. It was literally everywhere. It's just like diarrhea poo. And I was getting worried because at some point I was in there cleaning up and like watching him, and then he had like, it looked like he was like bleeding, like in his poo there was like blood. And I was like, what the heck is this? We really need to get him attention. And I thought, you know, he has a hurt leg and everything, and I was really worried. And I cleaned that up and I was like, come on, like trying to get a response from these people. They're not responding to me, like not right away anyways, and they don't leave a phone number, so it's not like I can call them. And so by the time they actually get me a response that's reasonable, that yeah, you can bring him in, we're open this time, and they're like, oh, he needs to come in a trap, he can't be coming in a pet carrier, you know, for our staff safety, he needs to come in like one of those animal traps. And I'm like, what the hell? I can't get him into a trap. Like, he's already super hostile and it's already difficult just to get him into a pet carrier. I don't even know how I was going to do that. But you're telling me I have to put him into a, like, trap. That's crazy. And so at this time, it's already, like, Monday evening that I'm like, okay, fine. Like, I got a response. I figured out, okay, I can do this. So I'm like, okay, the next day, Tuesday morning, I'll bring him in. I'll have to try and figure out. But before I could even try to get him into a trap, somehow this cat, I thought, you know, he's hurt, he's there, he has diarrhea, poop, whatever. I cleaned up, I put the cardboard under, you know, problem solved. We just need to do one more night. This cat manages to jump onto the basement window that I've already closed. And I had to open it at some point because, mind you, it smelled really bad. So I had opened it a little bit, thinking, you know, just a little bit, he's not gonna be able to jump up there, he has a hurt leg. No, he manages to jump on the basement windowsill and pry open the window, which I actually thought, for me, it was like a little bit difficult to open anyways, and somehow break the window mesh and get out. He managed to do this within like not even 10 minutes. And I'm like, holy crap. And I thought, throughout this time that I've been feeding this cat, I didn't want to do something like this where I catch him and then, you know, let him go. Because once he gets away, I was thinking I probably broke his trust. He probably won't be coming back ever again because he's thinking I'm going to catch him and hurt him because he's scared. No animal wants to be caught. So if you're going to catch them, you should catch them and like do something productive with that, because the chance of you catching them again is probably like very unlikely, and you don't want to break that bond. You know, I know cats. My my oldest cat who passed away, he was just like that. Like, you break his trust and he'll remember forever. So you don't do that. And I was trying to avoid that. That's why when I caught him, I thought his leg is hurt. I really will just bring him in and that will be the end of the day. Get him fixed, neutered, get him all the treatment that he needs. And then if he can be adopted, like if he socialized enough that he can be taken into somebody's house, either let the Humane Society find a home for him or I was going to adopt him myself. And that was the plan. But ultimately, because of how bad it was just to get some information from them and how long it took and just from me, like lack of experience, I wasn't able to do that, and he ended up getting away. And which I was like, that's freaking annoying, because I already cleaned up a bunch of his shit and had dealt with so much stuff. Mind you, this was, and my baby wasn't even that much older, so it was hard because I was very much already sleep deprived, but I really wanted to help this cat. So he got away. And I thought I really screwed the pooch on this one. But weird thing is, after he escaped, he just showed up on my front porch wanting food again, just like nothing had happened. And then I was so tired. I was like, what? I can't believe it. My partner went out, gave him food. He was a little bit like scared, but he was like, he still came and ate the food like nothing happened. And I'm like, what the heck? So that was in September. Now it's December. And since that time, I have tried to get him to eat the food inside our home. I would put the bowl right at the door, leave the door open, and kind of just walk away. Everything's silent in the house to see maybe he'll come in. He'll come in and eat the food, but then he'll just leave right away. He's not interested to come in at all, even if it's cold outside, even if it's windy. And he still continues to come and just get food. And I feel bad for not giving him food. So every time I'll give him food, obviously. But I've tried to catch him again, but not in the same way. I've tried to bring him into the house. Literally, I think I tried this in November where he was on the front bench. I had just given him one round of like food. So I gave him like a can of wet food and some dry. And I tried to sneakily pick him up really fast, pick him up, run to the door, but I had my partner behind the door too, so once I got in he would just close the door. But once I got in, at some point he had like kicked my wrist and cut me, so I made it into the door, but I dropped him right away once I got in, and he just like booked it right for the door. It was not even like a split second, he was out again. And I'm like, what? We couldn't even close the door in time and he was out. And we're like, seriously? That time it was already cold. It was like getting like really cold. I think it was snowing or something like that. And so we're like, ah, this is horrible. And we didn't, now it's the 23rd of December. And like I said in my last audio log, we're moving soon. We're moving into February, and I'm pretty much on a time crunch to try and figure out what I'm going to do with him, because it's been abundantly clear that I'm the only person in this community or neighborhood that's been feeding him. He comes here every single day for food, at least two times a day, and it's almost timed. It's been a pretty consistent routine where I leave some food out around 6. He comes and eats it, and then he kind of sits on the bench and then he leaves. He'll come again sometime in the morning when I wake up to feed my baby, and he eats it and then he leaves. I don't see him throughout the day, and that's all, I think, all the food that he gets. It's like every 12 hours, basically. It's become a routine. I've already tried twice to bring him in physically, either through tempting him with snack or like physically carrying him in. Did not work. I've also tried leaving the door open to see if he'll come in. He's seen my cats go from outside. Like, he's seen my three cats around the neighborhood all the time. He sees them, and sometimes I think he even plays with them. He sees them come into my house. He sees them interact with me all the time. And he still lets me pet him. He still lets me like pet his head. Sometimes if I pet too much, he'll like kind of bat at my hand, or like he'll hiss if he doesn't like it. But throughout this time, he's kind of gotten friendlier to me, but not to the extent that he'll come into our home, which I'm like, I don't know what to do about that. And today is the biggest storm of the year, and he's out there somewhere, and I can't stop thinking about him and how, what am I gonna do? We're kind of on time crunch that I need to figure out whether or not I'm gonna let him stay here and I'm just gonna move and he's just gonna be, I don't know what's he gonna survive off of, or if I'm gonna take him, get him neutered and potentially take him to where I'm moving to, because at least at that place I can continue to feed him. And whether or not he will be adopted by me is a different story, because I'm like, I don't even know if I can get him to stay in the home. I don't even know if he can be trained to use a litter box, and that's how extreme it is. So yeah, that's a story of the cat named Biggie that I've been feeding, and I'm hoping that I can get some answers from people. I've been trying to contact, you know, people who regularly feed feral cats, trying to get in contact, I think, with two organizations right now that are in my community that do support community cats / street cats. I've even posted it on Reddit to see if there's anyone who has experience dealing with this kind of situation, who's ever socialized a cat before. At this point, I'm like, I don't know what else to do. Ultimately, I don't feel good leaving him behind without having something like, you know, someone feeding him. But I can't imagine I can ask my neighbors to start feeding a stray cat, right? So it's not the best situation, but unfortunately, there's not much else I can do unless I physically try catching him again. And honestly, that seems like it really scares him. And yeah, it's not the best that I also have like a newborn at home. So I'm already like lacking a lot of sleep from that and being time crunched and tired. So yeah. Anyways, I just wanted to share this story because I can't help but think about him today. It's super stormy outside. I don't know how he's surviving. I don't know where he's staying, but it's super windy. It's snowing constantly. It's super cold. It's not the best. And yeah. Anyways, hope you guys like that story, and I'll keep you guys updated on what happens to Biggie. I'm gonna end it here. So have a good day, good evening, and good night.